This is the State of Things live from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. Well, in less than a month, full-time state employees in North Carolina will see a minimum wage increase to $15 an hour. It's one of the measures, the new state budget, that the legislature passed last week. Thousands of state employees are set to benefit from the wage increase, but Republicans are clear to point out this does not mean new legislation to boost statewide minimum wage in the private sector. Richard Craver is senior business and healthcare reporter with the Winston-Salem Journal, and he has done a deep dive into the policy and the politics behind the minimum wage conversation, and he joins us now. Richard Craver, welcome back to the State of Things.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so tell us about this increase, what it means in dollar terms, how big an increase, and how many employees are affected by this.
Okay, what I understand is there's about 8,000 employees, roughly about 12% of the state government workforce. I can't tell you exactly because it depends on the individual how much of a raise they're getting, but certainly if you have a state minimum wage, which is the federal minimum wage of $7.25, and you go to $15, you could see some examples where people probably got a pretty healthy increase. The explanation that has been shared by the state Republican leadership is that is an argument that you've actually heard a lot from people who are, I guess, on the progressive side of the issue, that people deserve a living wage. And so, therefore, this is their way of selectively providing that to state government employees. Now, it also seems to be an issue where I'm sure they've gotten some pushback, because now that the minimum wage for teachers is $35,000, well, were these people left out in that instance? And so this is their way sort of rectifying that.
All right. So maybe the teacher wage increase was something that pushed them to this, at least minimum wage increase for all state employees, although there's some confusion about whether or not university employees are included in this, or whether that would be mandatory given the way the budget is structured, right?
Right. The way it was explained to me by the Secretary for Senator Phil Berger, the Senate leader, is that, yes, these 8,000 employees are included. Now, there's also another $20 million that it looks like that could be provided on top of them getting to $15 an hour. Some people are thinking that maybe that $20 million may be what they're actually giving them an increase, and it may be meted out over the number of employees rather than everybody getting a raise and then getting something on top of that, sort of a merit bonus or performance bonus. So it's still a little unclear exactly where that $20 million is going to, but according to the Senator Berger's secretary, these 8,000 employees are going to be at least $15 an hour, or $31,000.
Now, this is a fiscally conservative legislature. It has been for quite a while, and here they are spending more money, so there could be some politics around this.
Oh, exactly. If you listen to Senator Kravick out of Forsyth County, her perspective on this is that state government is the employer. So they have voluntarily chosen to do this. Now, on the flip side of that, it sounds like they don't really feel any pressure to help raise the state minimum wage for the private sector. They still firmly believe that if there's the right economic conditions exist, that employers will continue to raise the salaries as they feel tightness in terms of what talent they can attain, what talent they can attract, and therefore the economy will push their wages up. I'm not really seeing examples of that, and I really haven't seen examples of that in a pretty good while where wages are really being pressured on employees.
Well, it's interesting. And first of all, North Carolina is one of the few states that has a state minimum wage exactly set at the level of the federal minimum wage, right?
Right.
So most other states have a little higher state minimum wage anyway.
If I remember correctly, I think there's about 22 states that still use the federal minimum wage is their minimum wage. Some states actually have a lower wage than that because in their legislation, they factor in the restaurant employee who makes less than $7.25 an hour, but they make up money in terms of what they get in tips and other types of reimbursement. But, yeah, North Carolina is definitely not an outlier, but they're definitely not in the majority either.
Yeah, this is interesting because your piece, you do a deep dive, and I think you've done us all a real service by putting this in context. It's not just about a wage increase, but you put it in the context of tax cuts, right? And, of course, the theory, right, the rationale that we were given for cutting corporate taxes and cutting the taxes on the wealthy was that this will increase economic activity and ultimately generate more money. So then the question is, well, why not mandate a higher minimum wage? That will certainly generate generate economic activity, and why not have a higher minimum wage in this state? And so that's one of the questions that, that gets put. So let's ask ourselves, and you did this, what happened to the federal tax cuts and the state tax cuts? Did that money go to generate more economic activity and raise wages?
I really think the jury is still out on that. And it may be, in fairness to what they're trying to achieve with these state and federal corporate tax rates, it may take a while to see it roll out. You know, we're, what, 5 months and change into the federal tax cut taking effect. You know, you've seen the state tax cut be cut from, corporate tax rate cut from 6.9% in 2013 when the McCrory administration took over, to that's now 3%. Part of the state budget that's, that if Governor Cooper signs it or vetoes it and it gets overridden would reduce the corporate state corporate tax rates down to 2.5%. And there's, you know, there's certainly legislative leaders who would like to see it be zero. Their argument is that by reducing the corporate tax rate, it makes North Carolina that much more attractive to corporations because it lowers the corporate tax rates. The employers' cost, if you lower the individual tax rate, it will make make it more attractive to get senior management, I guess the talent they need to attract. My observations at this point is I'm not really seeing that happening yet. And like I said, it may be too early. Right. But if you count the evidence that you've seen so far, you've seen some, largely banks, raising their minimum wage to $15 an hour. You've seen some $1,000, $1,200 bonuses being thrown out. But that's not sustainable. That's one and gone, and you don't know how much taxes will be cut out of the bonus to see what you really actually get. So,
and we don't know how many employees, bank employees, are actually making the minimum wage. So if you say you're going to raise the minimum wage at a bank, we're not quite sure how much that really amounts to.
Right. I mean, it's very minimal compared to your point a while ago about the corporate tax rate going to shareholders and, you know, how much they're dedicating in share repurchases, how much they're dedicating in dividends. And, yes, the shareholders own the company. And in some ways, some people make the argument that if you participate in your 401k and your 401k makes up a good amount of what, I mean, your corporation stock makes up a good amount of the 401k that you have, then you'll benefit from it as well. But it's still a relatively minor amount compared to what the your big shareholders, your hedge funds and all those in the private equity groups make.
Well, and then the other side of that is if you had the tax money to do things like, say, expand Medicaid or, say, raise per pupil spending to pre-2008 levels by hiring more teachers and aides, those people actually are in your community spending money. Unlike shareholders who don't, most of the shareholders in large corporations do not live in North Carolina, so they're winners, but they don't live here.
Correct. And like I said, that's part of the ebbs and flows of Winston-Salem losing Reynolds, their headquarter operations to British American Tobacco. Y'all have experienced it here with Jefferson Pilot. It's certainly, every time you take a step removed from that headquarters being locally based, that executive's children's not playing soccer with somebody or in dance class with somebody, you're probably not going to church with that group of people in the community, so you kind of remove yourself, and it's easier not to see that there's, you have fingerprints that can improve things in your community, whether regardless if you're in Pennsylvania or California or New York or wherever it may be. The other thing with the corporate tax rate is that it seems like there's just not this the sense that if you do these things, then the economy naturally will pick up because, to your point, that there will be more demand for product, there will be more demand for services, therefore there will be the pressure on wages. And I'm really not seeing that in a significant scale. I mean, I'm really not seeing that pressure on wages that you're just seeing people pushing up wages by 50 cents a dollar. I'll just remember, for example, back in the late 90s when you had unemployment going to 2.5%. And literally there were people who were hiring warm bodies, you know, and especially in sort of the lower skill areas. And people were literally quitting a job, going down the street where they knew they could make 50 cents more an hour because they had that kind of flexibility and there's that much pressure on the employer. I'm really not seeing anything like that this time around.
Richard Craver, senior business and healthcare reporter for the Winston-Salem Journal. Richard, thank you for your reporting. Always great stuff. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Just ahead, in the 1950s, the Magnolia House Motel in Greensboro was one of the few places black people traveling in the South could stay. And the celebrities it attracted make this home a part of local history here in Greensboro. We're going to talk about that coming up on the State of Things from North Carolina, Public Radio Broadcast Service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Joining us now live in Greensboro is a Greensboro-based band, Magpie Thief. They are Emily Stewart and Maddie Sheets. They're here once again with a song called Enough is Enough, and then we'll be right back.